All right, folks, today we're going to talk about the importance of hearing the voice of God and the word of God when it comes to relationships, because relationships can either make you or break you when it comes to walking out the will of God for your life. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, welcome to the broadcast. It is Friday, October 4th, and boy, we've had a long week, and it's good to close out this week of podcasting for the sake of just getting some rest and recuperating before we come back on here on Monday night when we do our live prayer session. So we want to welcome you. If you guys are watching here on YouTube, Rumble, on the live chat, we welcome you to the broadcast. You guys on Apple, Spotify, we welcome you as well. Thank you for tuning in and listening tonight. Now, you may be hopping on here and be like, what in the world does this topic have to do with the end times? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Before we get started, can you do me a favor? I need you to smash that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. All of these things are going to be beneficial to both you and I. It's going to help us get the word out, and it's going to help you keep up with this. And then you can take it a step further and download our free app. It is available on Apple and Android devices. It's free for you, and it'll be a blessing to you. Get it today. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. This is going to keep you up to date with every podcast, every breaking news update, prophetic update. Every headline we put out will be right there at your fingertips. All right, so if you're just hopping on, again, tonight, I want to cover the topic of relationships, whether it be marriages, whether it be friendships, whether it be associations. There, as believers, guys, we are called. I know this is hard to believe because this is silent for behind many pulpits, but as believers, when we become born again, we are to be in this world but not of this world, and God has called us to be separated. Now, when we say being separated, I don't mean that I don't want you to get this misconception that I'm saying that God is telling us to go into our home and lock ourselves away in our bedroom and never come out, never associate with the public, never go out anywhere and rub elbows with the world. That's not what I'm talking about, because in fact, we're called to do the exact polar opposite of that. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. We're called to carry out the Great Commission, which is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. We're to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. So we have to go out into the world. We have to intermingle with the world. Many of us go and we go to a workplace where we are surrounded with other individuals that don't know Christ. They don't have a relationship with God. They're not serving God. They don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. We have family members that either we live with, we associate with, or maybe once a year or twice a year, depending on the holidays, whatever, that we have to go and we have to be in some type of relationship or commune with or fellowship with for special occasions. So all of us, this message, guys, pertains to every one of us, okay? And again, if you're just joining us, this is practical equipping tonight. No, nothing prophecy. Listen, if you want a prophetic edge to this, let me give it to you right here. Because I know people come in here, and I know that, you know, our ministry is centered around news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, and we deal with Bible prophecy. But, you know, the Bible talks about falling away. It talks about people in the last days succumbing to cares of life, strongholds, and things that would cause them to stumble and cause them to be carried away and caught up into all these various bondages and addictions and strongholds that could even prevent them from finishing their race. Now, being as some of y'all is looking at me like I done lost my mind because I'm talking to a bunch of believers today, I want to remind you, we talked about this on another one of our broadcasts. In Luke 21, Christ is addressing believers. In this passage of Luke chapter 21, verse 34, previously before this, with the verses before this, before we get to 34, he's talking about the signs of the coming of the Lord. He talks about how these things will be like birth pangs. And then he gets down here, and remember, he is speaking to an audience of believers. He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to us today. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day, and again, that day that he's referring to here is the coming of the Lord, that day would come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare upon all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And then he gives further instructions to us as believers. Watch therefore and pray always. Somebody say, watch and pray. These instructions are constantly given to us as believers as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So again, quick recap. Christ is warning believers to take heed, be watchful, be always praying, and let our hearts not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life, that the day of the Lord come upon them unexpectedly. Again, that was not addressed, guys, to unbelievers. That was addressed to believers. Now, one of the ways, listen, I see this all the time. One of the ways that believers get into snares is because they're yoked with wrong people. They're yoked with wrong relationships. And the Word of God is clear on this. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They are yielding to their flesh. They're yielding to their own desires and their own carnal nature. And they are ignoring all of the warnings. They're ignoring the Word of God. They're ignoring the voice of God. They're ignoring a wise counsel. And because they're ignoring all this and pursuing these relationships, watch this, many times it becomes a snare to them. Because either they're not strong in their faith, they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, they don't have a strong prayer life, they don't have a strong attendance to the house of God or with other believers. And because of this, there's these little holes here, and they have strong weaknesses in their flesh, whether it be drinking alcohol, whether it be doing drugs, whether it be sexual sins, whatever the case may be. And depending on your connections and who you're yoked with, you will either cut this off and sever it from the head, or it will be a trap to you. Let me explain a little bit more in detail. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Somebody say 1 Corinthians 15:33. The Apostle Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me say that again for the back row. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me say the whole scripture. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, the Apostle Paul is warning. Here in context, he's speaking to the church of Corinth, and he says to them, I don't want you to be deceived by this. Evil company corrupts good manners. So that tells me that, listen, you can have all the good and you can have all the good intentions you want. Now, how many times have we heard this excuse in all these sectors of this, in all these different angles to relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's relationships as a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever the case may be? I've heard this over and over again. Well, I'm a strong Christian. I have a good prayer life. I have a good devotional life. I go to church regularly. And I know my friend or friends or my girlfriend or my boyfriend. And I hope if they ignore all that, they go on and actually get married to someone. But they'll make this excuse and say, I know that they, they do things and their lifestyle is probably not good. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about they are practicing things like drunkenness. They're partying. They're doing drugs. They are in sexual immorality. They are doing things that the Apostle Paul warned that if they continue to practice these lifestyles, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They don't desire righteousness. They don't desire sanctification. They don't desire holiness. But yet, some of these will go as far as to claim to be Christian, but they're not. They're by word only, but not by... The Lord said this, they profess to know God, but in works they're abominable. That's not my word. That's the word of God. That's the Bible says that, friend. But these individuals make these excuses of why and the reason they want to stay connected to these people. And look, I can relate to you. I came out when I got saved. Many of you guys have heard this story. I was yoked with unbelievers because this was my brotherhood, if you would. These were my friends. They were closer to me than my own blood relatives. They were there through the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups, the downs. They were always there. Now, were they good people by the definition of the scriptures? No. Well, for we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Did they have good hearts for the most part? Yes. But again, they led immoral lives. Many of them fornicated. They committed adultery. They did drugs. They were alcoholics. But this was the crew that I ran with. Why? Because I did it ignorantly. I didn't know. I was walking in darkness according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works through the children of disobedience. That's what the word of God says. But after I got born again and I said yes to Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God then lives on and dwells on the inside of me, and he leads me into all truth according to the book of John. So as I begin to read the scriptures, the Lord began to speak to me out of scriptures like out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me pull this up. And here's what this was one of the, you guys have heard me talk about this. If you're new, this first time you've heard me talk about this, if you're a regular viewer, just hang on for a second as we get through this because we're equipping the body here. One of the very first passages of scriptures that the Lord ever spoke to me about and what it was in context was he began to deal with me about my relationships. And I'll explain why in just a second. Let me read this again. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe. No, 6. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. That's where I got confused there. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Notice here it says, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now again, Paul's not saying that we don't go out and witness to these people, because we will. We have to. We're exposed to them every day. He's talking about being yoked together with them. This is like a picture of two oxen that are yoked together. And there's a yoke around their necks. So they have to walk. Watch this. They have to walk in unison, walk together. Because if one gets out of disorder, if one lags behind and falls behind and the other one goes ahead, it will weigh down and pull down the one who is leading and the one who's up front. And this will cause that oxen to stumble and to fall. So this is what Paul's talking about here, saying, if you are yoked together with unbelievers and unbelieving friendships, unbelieving a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, this is going to cause problems down the road. You're going to have a problem with this. And this is what he's comparing. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Here he's talking about the flesh. He's talking about your body. Your bodies are the temple of the living God. And he says here, this is what the Lord says, is God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In other words, we take God everywhere we go with us because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Okay? Therefore, look what he says here. come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Do y'all see this here? So God has called us to separate from being yoked with unbelievers. He's not calling us to never go into the world and hide from the world. He's saying you can't have a yoked relationship, because if you do, again, it's only a matter of time that evil company will corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Look what it says here. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Translation. If you want your relationship with God to be successful, and you want to do great exploits in God, and you want to be used by God, and you want to prosper, listen to me, then it is absolutely imperative that you surround yourself with wise men and women of God. Come on, that are seasoned in their walk with God, that are mature in their walk with God, that know how to pray, they know how to seek God, they're in love and on fire for God. Because if you don't, and the opposite is true, come on, I'm preaching to somebody today. Some of y'all can't get victory and keep victory, and you wonder why you keep stumbling, you keep falling, and you keep falling back into the traps that you've been entrapped in, and the ensnarements and the entanglements and all this and the bondages. One of the reasons is because you refuse to sever relationships. So here you are, and you've got good intentions. Come on, guys. I'm not tearing down anybody today. I'm trying to help you. You have good intentions. You want to go to church on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you go to church. You go in there and you come with every intent to worship God and praise God, and you're excited to hear the word of God, and everything's great, and you're praising God and hallelujah, and you're filled up, man. And then you leave that service, and then come on, a day later, 2 days later, here you go back to your same relationships around a bunch of people that are still smoking weed, still drinking it up, still jumping to every bar, still club hopping, still sleeping around, still cussing like a mechanic and like a sailor. And they're not saved and serving the Lord, or they're lukewarm, washed out hypocrites that call themselves Christians that are not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And because you refuse to cut it off and sever this, you know what happens? You slowly, come on, begin to replicate that evil and that darkness. That's why the Bible says wise men walk among wise men, but fools walk among fools. Listen, you show me your closest five friends. Show me them. Show me what they're doing in life, their success or not success, their marriages, their this, that. Show me your five closest friends, and I will show you your future. Wow, that's a statement right there. Yes, it is, and it's absolutely true. Listen to me. It matters who you make friends with. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Y'all see that? It matters who you're yoked with. So the very first thing that God dealt with me on was this very topic. Is I remember, I'll never forget, I had a little Gideon orange, a little orange Gideon Bible that I would carry with me, a New Testament Bible. And I'm sitting in the back seat with my closest friends in the front, which was, and I'm not going to name their names, but it was a he and a she, and they were engaged, but they were my closest friends. And at that time, I was dating my wife, who is my wife now, but we were not engaged. We were not married, but we were simply dating at that time. And I was in the backseat, and I was like the third wheel everywhere I went, because these were my best friends. These were my closest friends. And I remember I was in the back seat, and they, and I remember I'm born again. It's only been a few weeks after I got born again. So I'm sitting there in the back seat, and they're playing secular music, which I, when I was not saved, I never paid a lick of attention to it. Didn't really notice the lyrics so much, but it's amazing what will happen when you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's almost like all the beat, you know, the drums, the music, all the instruments that are entwined into the music. It's almost like the Holy Spirit takes an equalizer and pulls them all the way down on the EQ, and takes the treble and pulls it all the way up on the vocals. All the vocals are magnified. So I begin to hear the context of what the songs were talking about. I begin to hear, and I realized the songs were filled with sexual immorality. They were filled with drunkenness. They were filled with alcoholism. They were filled with idolatry. They were filled all this wicked stuff that, again, before I got saved, never noticed it. Never paid attention. And it was grieving me. And then that's when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And I felt led of the Lord to open up my little Gideon Bible in that backseat. And I opened it up. And consequently, I turned right there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in which the Apostle Paul told the church to be not unequally yoked with non-believers and to come out from among them, be separate. Y'all heard me talk about this. That broke me. That devastated me, because I knew the Spirit of God was telling me, look, I know these are your friends and you love them, but you can no longer be yoked to them. You can't have a relationship like you've had in the past, because you're a new creation, a new creature, and now you're a son. You're a son of mine, and I am your father. And I'm calling you, come out from among them and be separate and don't touch what is unclean. So I remember, guys, I was sitting in the back seat, my eyes full of tears. I was broken because these were the family that I had. I'm telling you, this is a hard message. Some of y'all ain't going to receive this because you're not going to want to hear what I'm saying today. But I'm trying to help you. I had to close that little Gideon Bible, went home, prayed, wept before the Lord and said, God, you know, why? And the Lord began to speak to me, and he explained to me in my spirit. He spoke to me and said, the reason why, and because he broke it down. He was explaining everything I'm explaining to you today, that if I would remain yoked to these individuals, were they good people? By the world standards, of course they were. They would do anything for me. They never did anything harmful to me, but they were of the world, friend. They were not born again. Their master was Satan, whether they would admit that or not. Okay? He is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit that works through the children of disobedience. If you're not born again, the Bible says the whole world's sway is under the sway of the wicked one. So over time, I just kept sharing the gospel with them, kept sowing the seed to them, kept watering the seed. Come on, sowing and watering and praying. And guys, can I tell you, it's been 24 years and I'm still sowing and watering and sowing and watering, believing that the harvest would come and I would see the salvation of these individuals whom I used to run with and hang with and who was my clique and my yoked friendships. But I had to separate from them. I had to say goodbye to them. And the Lord, I'll never forget this, in prayer, the Lord promised me, he took me to this scripture. Let me show you the scripture he took me to. And here it is, Mark chapter 10. Y'all, somebody needs to highlight this right here. If this is hitting you home, you need to highlight this verse, because I'm telling you, this is the word the Lord gave me when I was in prayer about this. I said, God, these are my family. These are my friends. I've had them for life. You know, and you're telling me to give them up. This is what he showed me. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. And then Peter began to say to Christ, see, we have left all and followed you. Peter's telling the Lord here, we've given up everything to follow you. And listen what the Lord says. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say unto you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Look at this. For my sake and the gospel's sake. Y'all see that? Now look what he says. Who shall not receive a hundredfold, watch this, now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and an end in the age to come. Guys, this is a revelation right here. The Lord is saying, if you, whatever you lay down, oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right here talking about this. Whatever you lay down for Christ's sake and the gospel's sake, the Lord's promise is in Mark chapter 10. He says, if you'll give this up, I'll bless you in return. I'll give it back to you a hundredfold, not only in this lifetime, but in a lifetime to come. But he says, don't miss this. It will come with persecution. Somebody say it will come with persecutions. Look, I know it's hard that you're going to have to say goodbye to some friends. You're going to have to say goodbye, even some family members, guys. I'll remind you, the Bible says if any man gives up brothers and sisters, you're going to have to say goodbye to some family members. Jesus said your enemies will be those of your own household. You may have to give up a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever the case may be. He says whatever you leave and give up for Christ and the gospel's sake, God says, you know what? I'll return it a hundredfold in this lifetime and a lifetime to come with persecution. So the Lord told me that day, if you're willing to give these friends up that you've had your whole life, the Lord says, I promise you, I'll bring you new friends in your lifetime. I'll replace those friends, but these friends will be dwelling. Come on. They'll be walking in light. They'll be walking in fellowship with Christ. They will, come on. They will be Holy Ghost, Spirit filled believers that will build me up and not tear me down and lead me closer to Christ and not farther from Christ. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the gospel truth, friends, if you're willing to receive it. Let me give you another story that happened. True story. The individual that led me to Christ was a former youth pastor. He was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know for a fact he was, and so don't try to convince me that he wasn't when I get to some parts of this story, because it's going to rattle your, it's probably going to rattle your denominational doctrine. He was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was a youth pastor. He was instrumental in praying me into the kingdom. He was salt. He was light. He let his light so shine among me that I saw his good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In fact, it was I credit him to being that individual that God used to lead me to Christ on June 2nd of 2000. Now, he did it by sowing seed. It was slowly but surely, and I don't have time to elaborate on every single minute detail. But he, over time, he kept praying me through. He kept inviting me to come to church. He kept being a light. I remember one time on a Friday night, again, my wife and I were dating at the time, and he says, hey, why don't you guys come over at my apartment? And again, he was my roommate, by the way. We became roommates. Now, here I am, an unbeliever. And he was a believer, but he saw my heart start changing. Because we would have conversations about God, and my heart was beginning to soften, and it was beginning to be pliable. So he came to me and said, hey, would you like to be, what would you think about being roommates in an apartment? And he gave me all these, and he gave me rules. You can't drink. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I was okay with that, because listen to me. I had two groups of people. Now, this was right before I gave my heart to the Lord. I had two groups of people. I had one group over here that I partied with and that I sinned a lot with. And then I had this group over here who was my good friend, who I'm talking about, and his group of church friends. So I remember it was on a Friday night. He said, hey, why don't you, and my wife and I couldn't find anything to do that night. And he said, why don't y'all come over here? You know, we're just sitting around watching movies, playing games and eating pizza. And I told her, I said, well, do you really want to go over there? Because it's going to be around a bunch of church people. And I was rolling my eyes. And again, guys, I'm telling you, God was dealing with my heart, but I was still revolting. I was still resisting it. But she finally says, I'm okay with it. If you got to remember, she was a backslid Baptist. Okay, so she had already been to church. She knew way more than I did. So she didn't have a problem with it. So long story short, we went. And I remember we went there, and there was probably about 20 people there. And we did. We played video games. We watched television. We ate pizza. We played games. And the one thing that stood out to me is I told Melissa when we left, I said that night, I said, you know what was amazing about that? I said, I don't recall ever one time hearing anybody in there cuss. They never talked about anything sexual. They didn't talk about anything that was, you know, anything that was like worldly, like, and I'm not talking about their stone cold, dry, you know, boring people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they stood out apart from the people that I was normally hanging out with and associated with. And that caught my attention. I felt peace there. And I didn't understand that at the time. Now I do. So long story short, again, it was those little things right there that those seeds that was being planted. And eventually he again invited us to a Friday night youth service. This was June 2nd, 2000. My girlfriend at the time, wife now, we went. Y'all heard the story. I got saved, gave my heart to the Lord. It was that night when I got saved, radically saved. I call it radically saved because I came up off the altar completely different. Never had a desire to cuss anymore. Guys, I'm telling you, I've heard stories about people getting saved and born again, and they were alcoholics, and they came up off the altar, and they were completely sober. They never had a desire to drink again, and they never touched alcohol. I've heard people say that with pornography. I've heard that people say that with drugs. The one area that I can relate to is swearing. When I came up off that altar, I don't struggle with that. To this day, 24 years later, I don't struggle with swearing. Now, it doesn't make me better than you, okay? Because you may not struggle with other things that maybe I do struggle with, or I have a weakness in the flesh and that I'm tempted with. My point is, come on, let's just glorify God here because of the power of the Holy Spirit who is able to sanctify us. And I believe, guys, that sanctification is not an instantaneous process. I believe it's a progressive process. We are all being sanctified until the day of our redemption, whether it's being caught up or we expire and we go on to be with the Lord. We will never be fully sanctified, but we are. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore I die daily. Y'all get what I'm saying here? So anyway, on that day I gave my heart to the Lord, I came off and I was a different person. And so, and at that point, now my good friend who was the youth pastor, filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to disciple me, pour into me, disciple me with the word of God, pouring into me. I'm talking about hours of discipleship, and he was pouring into me, and I began to grow and begin to mature in the Lord. So time goes on. 8 years goes by. And then right around in 2008, something happened. I remember I had a dream, and listen, I am one of those, in case you didn't know this, I 100% believe that God still speaks through dreams and visions today. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 30 talks about this. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit, sons and daughters, dreams and visions. It's there. John talks about the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. He'll show you things to come. I had a dream one night and I saw my good friend in the dream. And I walked up to him in the dream, and he was drinking alcohol. He was smoking cigarettes. His countenance changed. He would talk different. He was swearing. And I remember I looked at him in the dream and I said, who are you? And when I said, who are you? He lashed out at me in anger. He was furious. And I woke up. And I had not spoken to him in weeks. And every time I would call him, he didn't want to talk. He would make very short conversations. Never wanted to talk, didn't come around anymore. And I said, where have you been? And he had another group of people that he was hanging out with. I said, okay, you know, I said, I'll be praying for you and this and that. And, you know, didn't really think much, you know, I mean, it kind of bothered me a little bit. I can kind of, there were some red flags going on. But then when I had this dream, I pulled Melissa aside and I said, I think Brent's, I just gave out his name, but it's okay. I said, I believe Brent's in real trouble. And she said, why is that? And I said, because I had a dream about him. And she goes, well, what was the dream? And I explained it to her. And she said, and we both prayed about it, and we came to the conclusion that the Lord was warning us of what was happening to him. What was happening? He was falling away. He was backslidden. And the person I saw, and the reason why in the dream I said, who are you? It's the same connotation that when God showed up to Adam and Eve. Remember that? He said, where are you? This is God. It's not like he didn't know where Adam was. It was a rhetorical question. He was asking him, where are you spiritually speaking? So I knew in the dream when I said, who are you? I was speaking in the sense of this is not who God's called you to be. And now you backslid. And God was showing me that all of those things that he was doing was a product of him, going back into the darkness. Come on, the gospel talks about this. The Bible talks about going back into the bondages. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, wherein which you were set free from. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, the falling away, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We talked about this. The apostasia, the falling away. All this, listen to me, friend. It's one thing to read that. It's another thing to live it out and see it happening right before your eyes with people that you love and people you care about. So I remember I had that dream and I was very troubled, and I prayed and prayed and wrestled with this. And finally I called him up one day and I said, hey, I said, I'm going to ask you a straight out blunt question. I want you to answer me truthfully. I said, are you going to church anymore? Well, not really. When was the last time you read your Bible? I don't know. Maybe here and there. I said, let me ask you another question. I said, are you drinking again? Are you smoking and doing drugs again? Are you, because in his former life, he did that. He got born again, all this. But before that, he was, that's what he was into. And he got real quiet. And he began to become very defensive. And he's like, who are you? And immediately, now tell me if this don't sound familiar. Who are you to judge me? Come on. Now, why is he getting defensive? Number one is because he's feeling conviction of the Holy Spirit. Number two, this was the fulfillment of that dream I had. And then I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, well, if I told you everything, he said, you would probably never want to be my friend again. And I said, my gosh, man, what could you possibly do that I would sever years and years and years of relationship over? What could you possibly do? What kind of sin could you actually commit that you would say this and do this? Well, then he got real quiet, and then, to my bewilderment, he confessed that he was now a practicing homosexual. Well, you can imagine my response. Well, first of all, and I went through mixed emotions, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. At first, I was shocked. I was quiet. I didn't even know how to respond. And then the next thing I did was I became angry. And I said, you of all people should know better than this. Now, why am I saying this? Let me stop and elaborate, because he began to elaborate and say that he began to try to say that ever since he was a child and this, and he began to bring up all this nonsense. And guys, listen, and I know it's quick for you. I know it's quick for some of you to say, well, maybe he really was gay, Brother Ricky. Maybe he was just born that way. No, this man was engaged to women twice. He had multiple relations with different women in his past. He was engaged to two women while he was serving God. So no, he was not quote unquote born that way. What happened was he gave heed to seducing spirits. And so I called him out on this. And here's the sad part. You ready for this? He began to tell me that he found a church that embraced his lifestyle, and he began to try to preach to me this contorted scripture, twisting the scripture to accept a sin that Paul called an abomination that would keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, again, that's what happens, because seducing spirits will always be followed up by doctrines of demons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you today. Now, watch where I'm going with this. So you can imagine, I was crushed. I was devastated. So we talked for a little bit. You know, I wept on the phone. He was just very quiet about this. And I said, well, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to pray about some stuff, and I'll get back with you. So I hung up the phone, went. Melissa and I both wept, cried. Because, guys, listen to me. This was the man who led me to the Lord. This was the man that was there at my bedside of my mother when she passed away in 2005. This was the man who was my best man at my wedding in 2000 when I got married to Melissa. This man was there for every major event of my life. He was my best friend. So I prayed about it. Melissa and I prayed about it. That night, Melissa had a very disturbing dream. And by the way, this was in 2008, and this was when my oldest son was born. He was born on April 2nd, 2008. So this was right after that. He was just born when this happened. And that night she went to bed, or we both went to bed. She had a dream, and she woke up the next day and she said, I had a bizarre dream and I need to share it with you, because she goes, I think it's of the Lord, but I want to check with you. And I said, okay, what was it? Now I'm going somewhere with this, guys. I'm telling you, this is going to help somebody. She said in the dream, she said, this is the most bizarre dream I've ever had. Now I got to throw this out to you, because this won't make any lick of sense if I don't say this. Where we lived in Indiana at that time, our neighbors right next door to us was two gay men. Now, they were great neighbors. They were probably the best neighbors we had, honestly. Of all the neighbors around us, the gay couple that were two gay men, and you would not know they were gay unless they told you. They weren't flamboyant about it. They loved NASCAR racing. They loved sports, but that they were living together. They were homosexuals. But they were great neighbors. They were great people. And they knew where we stood. I knew where they stood, but they were great people. But watch this. So that night she had a dream. She said in this dream, she said, I saw our neighbors, so-and-so, who is the gay couple. And they had a lion on a short leash. And on a short leash, and I saw Elijah, which is again a baby, young. He was just born. He was an infant. She said, I saw Elijah in front of this lion, and this lion was on a leash with them, and it was trying to devour our son. It was trying to eat our son. But she said, and it was getting closer and closer. But the lion was being manipulated and controlled by the two gay men, and it was coming after to devour our son, Elijah. And she said, in the dream, I began to pray. And she said, I stood in between the lion and our child and held back the lion from devouring our child. And she said, I remember saying, in the name of Jesus, said, I woke up. She said, it's the most bizarre thing. And guys, immediately, God gave me the interpretation of the dream. And the Lord spoke to me in my spirit and said, son, he said, in the Bible, and you got to understand this, when you have dreams, let me give you a principle here. When you have dreams you will know they're of God by the symbolism that's used. Now, some people have pizza dreams and weird stuff. They eat chocolate or whatever, and they have a dream about, you know, riding a Pegasus or a unicorn, and they're handing out gold bars to their neighbors, and it's not biblical at all. There's no interpretation. And one of the worst things you can do is to take every single dream and think it's God speaking to you, because that's not the case. Even Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, with much activity comes much dreams. In other words, a lot of dreams comes from your subconscious. What you're worried about, what you think about, you will subconsciously dream about that stuff, okay? But there are times, are you hearing me, that God will speak in dreams. The book of Job talks about this. We've said this over and over again, in ways to warn us, to direct us, to lead us from the pit, to give us direction. And I knew from scripture that there's only two references to lions. One is Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The other is Peter's reference to our Satan, our adversary, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. Now, in the context of our dream, I knew that the lion did not represent Christ. Let me explain why. The lion was trying to devour our son. Number two, the lion was a pet kept on a leash by two homosexual men. Friends, here's what the Lord showed me about this dream. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, son, he said, if you condone the lifestyle of Brent, I've already said his name, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And he ain't going to listen to this podcast. And if he does, I pray the Lord deals with him and he repents. Because I'm still praying for you, brother, if you stumble on this broadcast somehow. The Lord spoke to me and said, if you condone Brent's lifestyle and you allow him to come into your home, he said, you can pray, you can plead the blood, you can intercede, you can fast, you can do everything you want, but it's like you locking and barring the front door, but leaving the back door wide open, because you are laying a welcome mat out and condoning a lifestyle of homosexuality. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that dream that I gave Melissa is that lion represented the sin of homosexuality, and it was coming after my son. That's why it was connected to those two homosexual men. And the Lord said, if you condone this lifestyle, he says, I am not permitted to come on to keep that spirit back from your home. Now, why am I sharing this, and why is this significant? Because I truly believe, guys, that the Lord knew that I loved this man so much. It was like Jonathan and David, that I loved him so much that I probably would have given him mercy and still been yoked with him, even though he was living a life. Come on, don't judge me. I was still a young Christian then, fairly. But my emotions would have superseded my discernment, and I would have allowed him to just be a part of our lives and living this lifestyle. But God knew that if he showed me this and gave me this warning, then he knew what decision I would make. So I wept, guys. I remember, I'll never forget this. I hit my knees on the bed and I wept and wept and wept. And I knew the decision I had to make. So I picked up the phone, I called him, and I said, listen to me. I said, if you want to be friends and remain friends, we can, but there's got to be boundaries. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you cannot be a part of our lives in our own home. I said, we can meet at a neutral location, at a restaurant or a coffee shop, and have some coffee and talk or whatever you want to do. I said, but you cannot step foot in our home. Well, he did not receive this. He lashed out at me. He attacked me verbally. He said, I'm not a monster. You know, this and this and that. And I told him, you need to repent. I was like, your very soul is at stake here. And we got into a heated conversation. And I'm saying that lightly here, probably an argument. I loved him, but I was rebuking him sternly. And guys, sadly, we departed ways that day. This was over, this was 16 years ago. Now, he's still alive. I know that for a fact. But he still is, and I know for a fact today he's still living a homosexual lifestyle. Now listen to me. If this man dies in his sin, I do not believe he will inherit the kingdom of God. I know this is going to throw out, this is going to wreck some people's theology. But the apostle Paul warned about people who would shipwreck the faith. But that's not even what I'm talking about today. That, yes, that's a truth here. But don't miss the point of what I'm making here. And let me wrap it up with this. How much time do I got left? We're almost in an hour. Let me wrap it up with this and say this. I don't know who this message is to. This might be for one person tonight, and that's okay, because that's what we do. We love people. We want to equip people. We want to help people. If you're watching, you're listening, and you feel like your relationship with God is stagnant, it's hitting a brick wall, you can't get any breakthrough in your own life, you can't get free of things, you can't get to that next level, you feel like things are holding you back, you can't get freedom of sin, you can't freedom. I need you to do me a favor, and I need you to be open and honest and do a self-examination evaluation tonight. And I'm going to ask you this truthfully, friend. I want to ask you today, who are you yoked with and what are you yoked with? I said, who are you yoked with and what are you yoked with? The who, you can name names. You've got your friends. You've got your family members. You've got your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever the case would be. That's the who. But when I say what, come on, who you're yoked with comes with the what. If you're yoked with Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believers, the what that you're going to be yoked with, come on, is radical, sold out, no compromising believers. That's the what. But if you are yoked with unbelievers, those dwelling in darkness, operating in darkness, committing unfruitful works of darkness, and practicing those lifestyles, then the what that's associated with that is evil, darkness, lawlessness, unfruitfulness, bondages, addictions, all these things, that's the baggage with this. So I need you to ask yourself, honestly tonight, who and what are you yoked with? And if you can honestly say, Brother Ricky, I know for a fact that I am yoked with some people that has got me entangled with the what that is associated with them. I have been to the altar over and over again and prayed to get delivered of alcoholism or this addiction or this substance abuse or this mindset or of this stronghold. And I, every time I almost get victory about it or I start walking in freedom, inevitably I end up running back to the same relationships, same girlfriend, same boyfriend, hanging out with that cousin, hanging out with that brother, hanging out with that sister, that uncle you've got, that whatever the case would be. And inevitably in my period of weakness, when I'm at my lowest point, the enemy tempts me through them and I end up succumbing to that thing. And it's like a perpetual cycle of bondage, freedom, bondage, freedom, bondage. And I can't get set free and it's holding me back and I can't get any further in my walk with God. If that's you, friends, you've got to make a decision tonight. I am not telling you anything that I have not walked out. I have not. Listen. I know for a fact, friends, if I would have remained yoked to the people that God separated me from early on in my walk with God, I know for a fact I would not be behind this microphone today. We would not have this ministry today because I think everything would have been different. Think about it, friend. If Joseph would have succumbed to the temptation of Potiphar's wife, and instead of leaving the coat in her hand and walking away, think about everything would have changed. He would have never become who he was. So listen, if you can muster up the courage and the strength to say, tonight's tonight on Friday, October 4th, that I'm going to say yes to God, yes to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. I promise you, friend, I give you that again. I'm going to give you that scripture. I'm going to give you that scripture, that promise that Jesus gave out of the book of the book of Mark, chapter 10. I promise you, not on my opinion, not on my word, but on the word of the Lord, that if whatever you give up for the sake of Christ and the gospel, whatever it is, houses, brothers, sisters, friends, families, fathers, mothers, wife, children, lands, whatever you give up, God says, I'll give you 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come, but it will come with persecution. Yes, you're going to be persecuted for it. When you listen, you think you're going to sever these relationships and say goodbye to some people. You think the devil is going to be happy about this? When I had to cut my relationship off with Brent, my best friend, I mean, I received harsh persecution over that. There were some very hurtful words that was said, but I knew that I had to obey the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's do it right now. If you're watching, you're listening, this is you know it's you. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have delivered this message that you have put on my heart tonight to bring forth. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would invade every room, every living room, every bedroom, every office, every vehicle, every headphone, every ear pod, listening live or by the rebroadcast of this, wherever there is the recipient on the other end of this who it fills the shoes, they're yoked with unbelievers. They're yoked with darkness. Whether it's friends, families, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever it is, and whoever it is, Lord, if that's them, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would bring this to light. And Lord, as it comes to light and comes to surface, I pray that you would strengthen them in their inner man, that they would have the courage and give them the grace, Lord, to sever the ties right now in Jesus' name. Lord, as they yield to the word of God in obedience and they take this step of faith tonight to come out from among them, they're going to have to make a phone call. They're going to have to write a letter. They're going to have to write a text. They're going to have to make an email and they're going to have to explain. Look, I love you, but this is where the road divides. We can meet up at a coffee shop and we can talk and catch up, but we cannot be yoked any longer. We cannot be hanging out on Friday nights at the bar. We can't be going clubbing together anymore. We can't be having cookouts and smoking blunts and drinking alcohol anymore. This has got to come to a stop right now in Jesus' name for the sake of my walk with God and my family. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If that's you tonight, come on, I want you to receive this today. Receive it tonight, Lord. Empower them and strengthen them and give them the grace to separate themselves and sever the ties and walk away in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that you're going to bless them accordingly based on Mark chapter 10. Father, you're going to bring new friends. You're going to bring new friends. And if some of you have given up family for the sake of the gospel, I promise you God will send friends that will be thicker than blood. They will be closer to you than any of your family by blood has ever been. I promise you that based on the word of God. And God said, not only would I do it, he said, I'll do it 100-fold. Come on, how many receives this tonight? I received this for myself, friend. Listen, we don't have a lot of friends. My wife and I don't have a lot of friends, but we have an inner core of friends because I 100% believe in quality over quantity any day. I'd rather have 5 friends, come on, that are trustworthy and true and on fire for the Holy Ghost and turning the world upside down that I can trust any day over 100 friends that are blown in the wind and just they're fair weather friends and they're only there for if you can do something for them. Come on, y'all, can I get a witness right there? So listen, I believe this was a blessing to somebody. I believe somebody's walking this out tonight. Somebody's receiving this word tonight. Again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. And we thank you for coming on to the broadcast tonight. Again, don't forget to download our free app, guys. It's available free on Apple and Android. All you got to do is hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. As always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity to be a blessing, to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, and there's several ways you can do that. You can give through the app. You can give through the main website. You can give, if you're watching by YouTube, right there in the chat at the very top, or by the rebroadcast of this on Rumble or YouTube, at the very top of the chat. Not on Rumble. You can't do this. I forgot about that. But on YouTube, you can see where it's posted up there. It's pinned, and it says support in really big bold letters. So you can click there. Again, go to the app, go to the main website. These are all ways you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, before we go, I want to remind you, this coming Monday night, Lord willing, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, live prayer, Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, every Monday night, right here on YouTube. If you're listening by Rumble, Apple, Spotify, you need to come over here. Again, subscribe to us on YouTube, because this is where we'll be. This is where all our End Time Headlines community is. This is where our church family gathers for our corporate prayer time. Again, you can find that on Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And listen, we always pray, depending on what happens that week in certain events, we pray accordingly. And then we pray for one another accordingly as well. So again, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for this weekend. Have a great and safe weekend. And we'll be right back here on, what is this, the 7th, October 7th, which is Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.